You look at the children of Israel. They came out of Egypt. They had the Red Sea at their back. They had mountains on both sides, and they had the Egyptian army, one of the most powerful military forces of the day in the world, bearing down on them. They had nowhere to go, or so they thought. What happened? Well, God did something very unusual. God split the Red Sea so that they could walk through it.
Welcome to Cross the Bridge with David McGee, Senior Pastor of The Bridge in Kernersville, North Carolina. Today, we have one of David McGee's assisting pastors, Neil, with us. Pastor Neil, tell us about the teaching today.
Bob, you know, all through the scriptures, we see God coming through in different people's lives. Remember, the Bible itself is a record book, and so we see God coming through even in difficult circumstances. But I'm wondering if we live that way, believing that God is going to keep His promises and that He's going to come through for us.
Well, how do you know?
Well, I tell you what, instead of me telling you, how about we allow Pastor David to teach through 1 Samuel 23 and let the scriptures show us how God comes through, not just in this section of scripture, but even in our lives today.
Sounds awesome. Well, here's David McGee teaching verse by verse through 1 Samuel.
Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 23. And so we find ourselves looking tonight at the life of David. And at this point, David has been anointed as king, but Saul is still the acting king. And Saul has continued to reveal serious flaws in his character, serious flaws in his leadership. And he's trying to kill David. And David has never done anything but serve Saul faithfully. So it's interesting as we look at David's response to these things that are going on. And last chapter, we saw that one of the towns that David hid out with, and Saul found out about it, went and killed all the priests that were in that town. So Saul is really, really beginning to lose it. And that brings us to 1 Samuel chapter 23. Verse 1 says, "Then they told David, saying, 'Look, the Philistines are fighting against Keilah, and they are robbing the threshing floors.' Therefore, David inquired of the Lord, saying, 'Shall I go and attack these Philistines?'" I want you to notice something. We're going to see a pattern in this chapter, and it starts with this verse. The Philistines are fighting against Keilah. Those are Israelites. And they are stealing their food. Now, you would think that David would look at this situation and go, okay, well, this is a no-brainer. I need to go in, me and my 600 guys, and we need to attack the Philistines that are ripping off the Israelites here at Keilah. But that's not what he did. It says he inquired of the Lord. He stopped and he asked. He didn't assume anything. And I think we need to be more like David. I think a lot of times we look at some situation and go, that's a no-brainer. Now, wait a minute. You still need to pause and ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to do with this situation? Do you understand that God wants to be intricately and intimately involved in your life? Verse 3. But David's men said to him, "Look, we are afraid here in Judah. How much more then if we go to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines?" Then David inquired of the Lord once again. And the Lord answered him and said, "Arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into your hand." And David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines, struck them with a mighty blow, and took away their livestock. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. Now it happened when Abiathar, the son of Ahimelech, fled to David at Keilah that he went down with an ephod in his hand. And Saul was told that David had gone to Keilah. So Saul said, "God has delivered him into my hand, for he has shut himself in by entering a town that has gates and bars." Then Saul called all the people together for war, to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. When David knew that Saul plotted evil against him, he said to Abiathar the priest, "Bring the ephod here." And then David said, "O Lord God of Israel, your servant has certainly heard that Saul seeks to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the men of Keilah deliver me into his hand? Will Saul come down as your servant has heard? O Lord God of Israel, pray tell your servant." And the Lord said, "He will come down." Then David said, "Will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hand of Saul?" And the Lord said, "They will deliver you." Verse 13, so David and his men, about 600, arose and departed from Keilah and went wherever they could go. Then it was told Saul that David had escaped from Keilah, so he halted the expedition. And David stayed in strongholds in the wilderness and remained in the mountains in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day, but God did not deliver him into his hand. So he's out in the desert now. Now, verse 15. So David saw that Saul had come out to seek his life, and David was in the wilderness of Ziph in a forest. Then Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David in the woods and strengthened his hand in God. I want you to notice that phrase, strengthen his hand in God. Now, verse 17. And he said to him, do not fear, for the hand of Saul, my father, shall not find you. You shall be king over Israel, and I shall be next to you. Even my father Saul knows that. And Jonathan is mostly right here in that David will be king and Saul will not harm him, although Jonathan will not be next to him in his rule. Again, we see, and this is the last time we'll see Jonathan and David speak, but what an awesome man Jonathan is. You understand, this man was in line to be king, but somehow because of his relationship with the Lord, he was content with David being king. So a lot of times we want this position or that position, when we should ask the Lord, Lord, where do you want me? Lord, what do you want me to be doing? And Jonathan, who had every right to say, you know what, I'm going to be king. David, this is, you can't be king, is saying, you know what, David, I recognize God wants you to be king. And I'm not going to stand in the way of what God desires. See, and it's interesting, especially when you contrast Jonathan and Saul. Here's Saul. Saul knows David is going to be king, and he's fighting God's will with every fiber of his being, and he is being made miserable in the process. If you ever fought against the will of God, don't raise your hand. It's a miserable thing. I have. Isn't that one of the silliest things you can do? Shorten the phrase. Take out the will of. You're fighting against God. Who do you think's going to win that one? Who do you think's going to tire out first? Don't fight against the will of God. And Jonathan finds him in this place. And notice what Jonathan does. He doesn't play into sympathy with David. That's important for ministry especially. Because there are times when you will be tempted to give somebody sympathy when you need to give them lovingly the truth and encourage them in the Lord and strengthen their hand in God, like it says in verse 16. Life lesson here, we should encourage one another in the Lord. We should encourage one another in the Lord. You know, we talked about serving. You know, once you step out and you begin to serve the Lord, there's opposition there. You know, all of a sudden, you know, family members and people, oh, why you gotta serve God? Why you gotta go early? Why you gotta stay late? And then people, you know, there's resistance there, and you need to be encouraged in the Lord. Why? Because anytime you step out to do something for God, there's gonna be opposition there. That's just spiritual battles, right? And what Jonathan is saying to David, it reminds me of John the Baptist and Jesus. They went to John the Baptist and they said, John, and John had this awesome ministry, a lot of people coming to him, a lot of people hearing him speak, he's baptizing a lot of people, and all of a sudden this guy Jesus comes on the scene. Now all of a sudden more people are following him. People that used to follow John, now we're following Jesus. So some of John's followers came to him and, John, a bunch of people are going after this Jesus guy. John's answer is incredible. John 3:30. He simply says, he must increase, but I must decrease. He must increase, I must decrease. Do you realize that's what we're supposed to be doing with the Lord? The Lord is supposed to be increasing in our life as we are decreasing in our life. You understand, when you come to the Lord and you ask him to forgive you of your sins, you begin a lifelong journey of letting God direct your life. That no more are you to assume and you take control of your life. Well, God, thank you for saving me. Thank you for forgiving me. I can take it from here. And God's like, man, you're in for trouble. Because God wants to direct our life as well. At verse 18, so the two of them made a covenant before the Lord, and David stayed in the woods, and Jonathan went to his own house. Then the Ziphites came up to Saul at Gibeah, saying, is David not hiding with us in strongholds in the woods? In the hills of Hachilah, which is on the south of Jeshimon. So most of the Judean wilderness was simply desert. There was some forest in there during that time. At verse 20, "Now therefore, O king, come down according to all the desire of your soul to come down, and our part shall be to deliver him into the king's hand." And David is just, he's got these enemies on every side. Now people are seeking out Saul. "I know where he is. I'll turn him in." And they're doing this because they're wanting to get on Saul's good side, I guess. Problem is, they're serving the wrong king. They're serving the wrong king. You understand, the Bible says that we've got a choice about who we serve. Now, Bob Dylan wrote a song years ago. It said, "Yeah, it might be the Lord or it might be the devil, but you got to serve somebody." Everybody in here is serving somebody. You're either serving God or perhaps the devil or perhaps yourself. But there's a decision you have to make of who you're going to serve. We should serve the Lord. Why? Because he's a wise and he's a just king. He's King of Kings and he's Lord of Lords. Now, review verse 20. "Now therefore, king, come down according to all the desire of your soul to come down, and our part shall be delivered him into the king's hand." And Saul said, "Blessed are you of the Lord, for you have compassion on me." You see, here's some, you know, Saul's using the name of God again. Should he be? No. "Oh, blessed are you of the Lord, you slimy, betraying person. Bless God for you." Hear how religious this sounds? Many of us can talk the talk. Can we walk the walk? We speak our own language. Christianese is what I call it. Don't speak Christianese when you're out in the world, because the world's got no idea what you're talking about. "How you doing?" "Oh, I've been saved, sanctified, and washed by the blood of the Lamb." They have no idea what you just said. They will walk away going, "Yeah." So be careful that you use English when you're speaking this to my, and not the Christianese. And Saul is hiding some. And notice he slipped it, "For you've got compassion on me." Saul's fairly, well, he's very self-centered, isn't he? "Oh, you were thinking of me. You had compassion on me. It's all about me." It sounds like he's saying the right thing, doesn't it? "Blessed are you of the Lord." It reminds me of a story. This guy goes to this church, and he shows up in jeans and tennis shoes, and he walks in. Everybody's kind of looking at him, you know. And after the service, the pastor goes, "You new here?" And he goes, "Yeah." I mean, pastor already knew, because everybody else was in suit and tie. Even all the women. It's weird, but no, I'm kidding. So he goes, "You know what? You really need to pray about, you need to ask the Lord what he thinks you ought to wear when you come here." The guy goes, "Oh, okay." So the guy shows up next week. He's in jeans and tennis shoes again. Pastor kind of looks at him. Everybody else in the congregation looks at him. He doesn't get to speak to him that week. But then next week, the guy shows up, jeans and tennis shoes, t-shirt again. He goes, I got to talk to him. I got to ask him. So he goes to this guy and he goes, he said, "Sir, you know, I asked you if you would ask the Lord what you should be wearing when you come to this house of the Lord. Did you pray about that?" And the guy said, "Yeah." And he said, "Well, what did the Lord say?" He said, "Well, the Lord told me he didn't know what to wear here because he'd never been here either." See, it sounded good what the guy was saying. You need to ask the Lord what you should wear here in the house of the Lord. But it wasn't the real deal.
Thank you for listening to David McGee with Cross the Bridge Ministries. David's heart is to help you beyond our radio program. We will continue teaching the Word of God and bringing hope through the power of the Scriptures. We know that these are unusual times, so we want to share with you many of our online tools. Please check out youareloved.org to take advantage of these free resources. Our daily devotional has a helpful reading plan, thoughts from the Scripture, and practical life lessons to help encourage you. On youareloved.org, you can find full-length teachings from Pastor David and his assisting pastors. Maybe you are not able to attend services at your local church right now. Visit youareloved.org so you can join us live on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. Eastern and Thursday evenings at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Now, back to David McGee.
At verse 22, "Please go and find out for sure and see the place where his hideout is and who has seen him there, for I am told he is very crafty. See, therefore, and take knowledge of all the lurking places where he hides, and come back to me with certainty, and I will go with you, and it shall be, if he is in the land, that I will search for him throughout all the clans of Judah." So they arose and went to Ziph before Saul. But David and his men were in the wilderness of Maon, in the plain on the south of Jeshimon. So they keep moving. They kept moving. When Saul and his men went to seek him, they told David. Therefore he went down to the rock and stayed in the wilderness of Maon. And when Saul heard that, he pursued David in the wilderness of Maon. So Saul's army is pursuing David's band of men. Verse 26, then Saul went on one side of the mountain and David and his men on the other side of the mountain. So David made haste to get away from Saul, for Saul and his men were encircling David and his men to take him. Saul had a lot of men, thousands, and had David surrounded. And yet, knowing what we know about David at this point, I don't think David ever got freaked out, even when he was surrounded. He looked around, he thought, well, okay, not sure what's going to happen, but something's going to happen. He knew God would deliver him. Verse 27, but a messenger came to Saul saying, hurry and come, for the Philistines have invaded the land. You have to understand something. God will allow you to get in positions in your life that you can't get out of. Now, that may rock the boat of some of your theology, but that's okay. You look at the children of Israel. They came out of Egypt. They had the Red Sea at their back. They had mountains on both sides, and they had the Egyptian army, one of the most powerful military forces of the day in the world, bearing down on them. They had nowhere to go, or so they thought. What happened? Well, God did something very unusual. God split the Red Sea so that they could walk through it. Yeah, and I've heard the liberal theologians go, well, the Red Sea, where they were, it was just the wind that blew, and the Red Sea was only about 2 inches deep where they were. Well, then I guess the miracle is that the whole Egyptian army drowned in 2 inches of water. There's a miracle in there somewhere. But God gave them a way out. You have to understand, God will always give you a way out. Even when you look around and you can't see it, something's about to change. The life lesson here, the Lord will always come through. The Lord will always come through. I tell you what, I learned so much being on the road, traveling and doing music and teaching. Because one of the things, you know, we were booked way in advance, but you know, one of the things, we just trusted God. And even as the ministry grew and was working with a Christian music label and all these things, we still, it was a by faith thing. In a world where usually contracts got exchanged and, you know, people and some of the larger churches, you know, well, what's the fee? Well, we don't have a fee. Okay, what's your expectation? Well, we don't have any expectations. Well, we need a number. Well, then you pray about it. God will give you a number. Well, no, we need you to give us a number. Well, I'm not going to give you a number. But God will give you a number, just ask him. I had a couple people kind of get frustrated with me. Because, you know, they had to go back to the administrator and go, he said to pray about it. But what I learned is that I could trust God. Now, here's the thing. Let me be honest. In doing that, and Pastor Chuck told me, he said, you understand people are going to take advantage of that. I said, yeah, I'm not doing it for them. I'm doing it for God. And whenever they do, it'll just remind me I'm doing it for God, not for them. There were times when, I have to be honest, out on the road stuff, I would get freaked out. You know, because, you know, I needed 2 plus 2 to be 5 on some days. And sometimes I would get anxious. And every time God would come through. Every time. Not mostly, every time. And let me tell you something. What happened over time is I would get anxious, and then God would come through, and I would feel so silly when God came through. I'd be like, oh, God, I kind of thought you'd come through. You know, God be like, no, you didn't. Well, I was hoping you'd come through. Yeah, it was a weak hope there, David. I'll never forget the story Pastor Chuck tells. He was bivocational. He was working a grocery store in the ministry and really having a hard time. And he was moping around the house one day and thinking about walking away from ministry. A friend of his called and said, you know, Pastor Chuck, God was just laying on my heart to send you something in the mail, and it was a certain amount, and it was the exact amount they needed. And he hung up the phone, and he was like, oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. You know, he's dancing around the house. And the Lord, in that still small voice, said, what are you doing? Oh, praise God, this brother called. He said he's going to meet my need. The Lord said to Pastor Chuck, well, how do you know he's going to send it? Well, Lord, don't say that. You know, he said he was going to send it. Oh, okay. So, Chuck, when I promise to meet your needs, you're walking around the house mourning and going to get out of the ministry. But a man calls you saying he's going to meet your need, and all of a sudden you're dancing. Convicting, isn't it? God said he's going to take good care of us. Sometimes the circumstances, they don't look like that, but God will always come through. God will always take good care of us. And I want you to see something. Verse 28, therefore Saul returned from pursuing David and went against the Philistines. So they called that place the Rock of Escape. David was delivered without ever throwing a spear at Saul. He could have thrown a spear. What happens when you throw spears is sometimes you injure people around you. Probably the worst thing that can happen is you can become like those who are chasing you. Could end up like them. In verse 29, then David went up from there and dwelt in strongholds at En-Gedi. Now, En-Gedi is an interesting place, and I've been there. We've taken some of the trips. We go by En-Gedi. It's a place right on the Dead Sea. It's an incredible place, freshwater springs. But I want to set the pictures for you. David had been in the Judean wilderness. Now, it's hard for us in North Carolina with, 55 inches of rain a year, lush vegetation. It's hard for us to understand what a Judean wilderness looks like. You could hide in many places in all these nooks and crannies. It's a desert. But David was being brought through a process. And even in the desert, even in these places, he was trusting God. As a matter of fact, it was in those deserts where his faith was built, to be a strong faith, to know even in those moments that God was going to come through. And why am I saying this? Because I know that some of you are in a desert, and I know that's a hard place. But it can also be a place where your faith really grows, and you can trust God in spite of those circumstances. Because, friend, if there's one thing that I've learned, you can always trust God much more than you can trust your circumstances. But you have to make a decision. See, God wants to bring you to that place and create a thirst for Him in your life. And then when He brings you to that place like En-Gedi, you'll be blessed and you'll know how much you're blessed. Because here's En-Gedi. That's in the middle of the desert. It's an incredible place to come upon because there's all this lush vegetation and all these animals. And the stream flows down the hill towards the Dead Sea. And there's all these animals and vegetation, and there's all these caves around there. It's a beautiful place. And it's probably in this place that David wrote the psalm where he says, you know what? My heart and soul thirst after you, Lord, as in a desert and a dry place. So there's times in the desert, they'll make you thirsty. They make you thirsty for the Lord. And friend, that's a good thing. I've been in the desert. It's a hard place, but God wants to do a work in your life, and He wants to bring you to the En-Gedis of your life. And see, here's the thing. Don't bail out in the desert. I wish I could stand up here and go, well, there's never going to be any deserts for any of us. No, there will be deserts for each and every one of us. I know that's hard to hear, but I can promise each and every person in here that there will also be En-Gedis for you. These streams, these fountains. And may God lead you to the En-Gedis in your life as you follow Him through the deserts in your life.
Friend, do you know for sure that your sins have been forgiven? You can know right now. I want to lead you in a short, simple prayer, simply telling God you're sorry and asking Him to help you to live for Him. Now, God wants you to pray this prayer so much that He died to give you the opportunity and the ability to ask Him to forgive you. Please, pray this prayer with me out loud right now. Dear Jesus, I believe You died for me that I could be forgiven. And I believe You were raised from the dead that I could have a new life. And I've done wrong things. I have sinned. And I'm sorry. Please forgive me of all those things. Please give me the power to live for you all of my days. In Jesus' name, amen. Friend, if you prayed that prayer, according to the Bible, you've been forgiven, you've been born again. Jesus said he would not turn anybody away who comes to him, and he came for those people who knew they needed forgiveness, those who were sick, not the righteous. So congratulations, friend, you just made the greatest decision that you will ever make. God bless you.
If you prayed that prayer with David for the first time, we'd love to hear from you. You can visit crossthebridge.com to receive our First Steps package with helpful resources to help you begin your walk with Christ. You can also write to Cross the Bridge at P.O. Box 12515, Winston-Salem, North Carolina 27117, and share how God is working in your life. Before we go, have you been listening to the teachings through the book of 1 Samuel? We've handpicked some of these teachings that will encourage your prayer life. Pastor Neil, can you tell us more?
Yeah, Bob, we all hunger for a deeper connection with the Lord. And Pastor David shares through past living examples how to have that deeper connection. So when you give a gift today, we're going to send you, for your generosity, praying through 1 Samuel. It's a 4-CD series that will encourage you in a deeper relationship with the Lord.
And as you step out on faith and give a gift to Cross the Bridge today, we will send this in appreciation for your generosity. Again, please visit crossthebridge.com to give today and get your copy of Praying Through 1 Samuel.
We would also like to encourage you to grab Pastor David's daily devotional. Each day you can wake up with encouragement from Pastor David through the Word of God with this email devotional. Life lessons to consider, a daily reading plan, and a thought to meditate on throughout your day from the heart of David McGee.
Hey, and it's easy and it's free. You can just sign up today on crossthebridge.com. Well, folks, thanks for listening and tune in next time as David McGee continues teaching verse by verse through 1 Samuel.